This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I got a quick little story time.
As he always does.
So as you know, my phone has been tweaking the last month. It's just been glitching all over the place, right? So bada boom, I made an appointment to Apple today at 12:30. Gonna drop off my phone. It cost me a lot of money, but I'm gonna get it fixed, right? So boom, go to the mall, go to Apple, give my phone. I walk out, walk back to my car, and realize, wow, I don't have a phone right now. And I'm not going to have a phone for the next 4 hours, you know? So, obviously, like, in my whole walk back, I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm so bored, you know? And I was just really reminiscing on the times where we didn't have phones. You remember not having a phone? You remember just having the iPod and just playing, you know, Angry Birds or Tap Tap Revolution on your little iPad?
I don't know what Tap Tap Revolution was, but
you didn't live. Anyways, I got in the car, right? Reached in my pocket, realized I didn't have my phone, and then realized I would have to have a silent ride home now. I can't play music.
That's so sad.
But little mushroom brain went, you got to turn on the radio, buddy. We got the radio now, right?
Right.
So, boom, I turn on the radio, and I swift through some of the radio stations I used to play, right? 95.3, 106.7, 102 Jams. None of them work anymore. But then I get on 101.9, and it starts playing a Linkin Park song, an old Linkin Park song. You know Linkin Park?
Of course.
The radio was playing One Step Closer by Linkin Park. And it's like a pretty hardcore rock song. And I was listening to this and I was like, man, I hate this type of music, but I really like this song. Why is that? And it's because I have an emotional connection towards Linkin Park, because I love Linkin Park. I grew up listening to Linkin Park. It was like the only rock band that I knew. But I realized I hate this sound though. So then in that moment, I realized, you know, ignorance is really just built off of misunderstanding.
It's you told this whole story in the beginning to just mention that one part.
You needed to know the backstory. You know, right. I realized that, like, maybe I don't hate this type of music. Maybe I just am not processing. I'm not processing it the correct way. Maybe I should think about all of these bands the way that I think about Linkin Park, because they're all good, you know? So I say it the same. If you are ignorant towards something, try to find another deviation into
this. Would have been a great advice at the end of the podcast.
Too bad. Y'all get it right in the beginning. Anyways.
Welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I'm Hua.
And my name is Mosh Noon.
And today, we thought, why not redo our worst episode yet, which was our first ever episode, talking about education, talking about how it's tied to reputation, talking about the pressures that our South Asian parents put on us, talking about failure and success and college and all those type of things, because it fits perfectly. I am graduating with my master's soon, and Mashun just finished his second to last semester, and we are very close to finishing school, and it's crazy because we just thought it would never come, but here it is.
If you can describe your relationship to school in 5 words, what would it be?
Oh, wow. We're counting words now. Five words. Made me feel stupid sometimes. That's five, right?
Yeah. It made you feel stupid?
Right. Sometimes.
How did it make you feel stupid?
We're going right into it? What's going on?
Let's get it popping.
Oh, it made me feel stupid, huh? You know, I was actually talking to someone about this the other day. We were talking about if we should eradicate the SAT after you know, after you graduate from high school, because what's the point of the SAT? A lot of colleges are not even accepting it anymore. And I was talking about how we should eradicate it because SATs and standardized testing in general does not measure your knowledge in any way, because even a lot of people in my elementary school, as you guys know, I work in a first grade classroom. I see a lot of the students in third grade up who are still very anxious about these tests. There are students that take the whole day to finish a math or ELA test because they're just so anxious and they can't even get their full intellectual capabilities out because they're just so anxious about it and they're scared of the grade that they're going to get. They're scared of their parents' reactions. And I also think that SATs and big tests like this don't measure my knowledge at all. And since I got a lower score compared to the other brown, smart kids in my community back in the day, I felt so stupid. So it made me feel really dumb because since I got like, I don't even know, I think I got like an 1800 something, which honestly isn't even bad. That's pretty good. I think it's actually above average. I'm not sure. But I got an 1800 out of 2400 or something in comparison to the other kids in the community who are getting like 2100, right? And they got into better schools. They got more scholarship. And I was going to a CUNY school. I didn't get all of those scholarships. I did get some, and I wasn't accepted into all of the private schools. I also did not get any college rejection, so that is a one humble brag. Mm-hmm. But it made me feel stupid because I thought that since I got a lower score compared to everyone else, I would never succeed in life. But you know what? Now that I'm older, it's very hard to not equate myself to my grades. But I realized that my level of success is not measured by these grades. So, mic drop. That's how I feel.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
So working, you know, working as a first grade teacher, you're working with a lot of kids, and I don't know what the generation of the kids that you work with are named, because what, they're 7 years old, so they're born in 2015. I don't know what generation that is.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Gen Z.
I don't know, but you know, I feel like for at least the last couple years to like 5 years, there have been unlimited complaints about the education system. Yet we've seen little to no change in things like standardized testing, in what, you know, certain thresholds are. And it's like every single industry on the globe is progressing and modernizing, whether it's retail, whether it's environmental, whether it's social. Everything is progressing, everything is becoming digitalized, and everything is adapting to the new world, but it seems like nothing is changing with education. So is it just like, are the people in charge of everything just lazy? Do they just like, I don't know how education was run in like 30 years ago. Is it like, I just don't know why things are not changing. And it's like, you are working with 6 year olds. So like, is there any change when like you were six and what these 6 year olds are being taught now?
I mean, now these tests are optional, but they still word it in a way where it seems like if you do opt out of taking these tests, or like if the parents opt out of taking these tests, it's kind of like you're doing them wrong. So a lot of people still feel forced to make their children take these tests. So honestly, not much has changed because these tests do lead to like funding. It leads to the district or the country to see what their place is in the education system. And it leads to so many different things. So honestly, in my perspective, things have not changed. It is still very stressful. I think another thing that has changed is that they have more time. So back in the day when we were taking these tests, it was very nerve-wracking because we had like, what, 3 hours to take a test or whatever the time was. But now they have the whole day or even more than just that one day. So they're not limited. They have more time to think. But that also, I realize, has made students feel anxious because they feel like, oh, now that time is limited, I can think much deeper and overthink on these questions. And so they're just much more anxious. So it's really, there's pros and cons to it all. But in my opinion, I think we should really get rid of all these testing. It's just also like on top of that, especially if your parents did not come from a rich background, they are probably not able to afford all of the resources that you need to succeed, right? So especially if you live in a poor community, you probably don't have the SAT prep. You probably don't have that extra class after school. You don't have that extra resource, and that's making you feel less smart because you just don't have those privileges like other students who live in richer neighborhoods, right? So there's so many different factors in it. And it's just really, really sad how we've gone through it too, but on another level, right? Because people of color and South Asians just deal with it differently. Education is viewed differently. It's weighed heavier. So, yeah.
Hmm.
What's your experience, buddy? Oh, you just finished your second to last semester of college. What's going on?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't
know.
How we feeling?
Come on, speak.
There's no point in me explaining why I'm feeling if people don't understand the background, you know? And I don't want to get into a big rant session, but essentially,
we got time.
I have a very toxic relationship with school, with the education system. For the people that know me, you know, I've always done really poorly in school, and I always tried to mask it like I'm doing pretty good. I never really was. My mom gets upset when I talk about the reality of my educational background, but I'm just speaking my truth, you know. I haven't done good in school since the seventh grade. You know, I think in seventh grade was when I got my first C, and I got it, and I was like, damn, I guess it won't hurt if I just get another one. And then, like, I would get another one and be like, oh, man, like, oh, well, you know, so it's like, I've always done really poorly in school. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And a lot of people can relate to the fact that, like, they probably don't know why they've always done bad in school. There are so many things that could be involved, you know, whether you want to go external and say that, like, there was a lot of stuff going on at home, you weren't giving the time or space to really lock in and try to really prioritize what's important and really prioritize your grades, because you have to prioritize your attention somewhere else. Or if you want to go like internal and say, school was never meant for me, I'm a creative, I have an artistic soul, an artistic mind, and I'm unable to process or care about things that bring no interest to me and bring no value to me. I am incapable of giving them any sort of attention. Like, I felt both of those. I felt a lot of things, and I still battle with just like the conflict of not knowing why I did so bad. You know, I had a 1.6 in my junior year of high school. I was very close to not graduating high school. I only got admitted to the community college in my city, which has a 98% acceptance rate. If I didn't get admitted, I'm literally just a spectacle of dust. You know, that's literally like what I am. Damn. I'm literally a tadpole. Like, you have to be an inanimate object to not get accepted to this school. I my God. And even like, I went to the school and whatever, like, I'm going to fast forward and say I'm in my sixth year at UCF right now. I graduate next semester. I just finished my spring semester, and it was the first time where I didn't worry, you know. Like, of course, you're always going to worry about what your grades are. But towards the end of the semester, I realized that, like, I was in a good standing in all my classes, and there was only one class that there was like a potential I would fail if I like absolutely bombed the final. Every other class, I was fine, you know. And like, there's one thing that I want to bring up that I talked to my friend Soham about, where I was just kind of saying, like, you know, I feel like I'm like the freshman in the senior class right now, in that, like, a lot of the things that college kids did in their last couple years in class, I never did, because I always separated myself and the person that I am at UCF. I never really made it the same person, because I don't know, I hated school so much. I was just like, when I'm in school, I don't, like, I'm just a different person. I'm not equating that to who I really am, because everything about school just pissed me off. I didn't want to be associated with it at all. So, you know, I never checked my grades. You know, there were semesters where I didn't know what I had in my class until the last week. I was just like, damn, let me just see if I'm passing. And sometimes I'm passing, sometimes I'm not. You know, I never knew the names of my professors, even. You know, I never knew the names of my classes. Like, if somebody asked me, you know, in class, like, oh, what other classes are you taking? I couldn't name off the top of my head because I literally just didn't know. I would have to, like, enter my database and see what other classes I'm taking. And I say that all to say, right now in this semester, it was the first semester where I was really able to partake in school gossip. You know, school gossip, where, like, it's
school
your first
jargon.
It's your first day at class. You know, you guys walk in and you start talking to some people and you're like, oh, like, what's up? My name is this. You're like, yeah, I'm a senior. And oh, like, what class are you taking? Oh, I'm taking that too. Do you have this professor? Oh my God, like, what do you think about, like, the first quiz? Like, I was never able to engage in that sort of conversation because I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know where the library was. I might call it. Somebody asked me where's the library. I don't know. Like, I don't know. And this is the first semester where, like, I'm literally like a 5-year-old running around, like, talking to my students or talking to my classmates, like, oh, like, look what I got in this class. Like, oh my God, what class are you taking? Oh, I'm taking it too. Like, whatever. And everybody's like, yo, chill out. And I'm just like, that's why I literally feel like a 5-year-old in this class full of, like, fifth graders. Because I'm just so excited because the first time that I'm really engaging myself in school. I'm rambling. I'm so sorry.
No, but you deserve it.
What I'm trying to say is, I've had a really negative experience with school. I have one more semester left, and I don't really know how to feel about it. But I do know that I recently talked to a TikTok mutual I've had for a while. His name's Adit, and he feels the same way that I do. Where he feels like he's too creative in the head to really focus on anything school related. So I get it. I'm said that all for people who are probably going through that same thing. School sucks, and gaining a strong relationship with it is so difficult. But I don't know.
Well, first, if you guys are listening to this episode and you're up to this part, please wish Mashoon a happy, happy congratulations for passing all his classes this semester and just being so close. Mashoon worked really, really hard in school, and it is not easy for everyone to just get good grades, especially while he was working full-time. He was taking 6 full-time classes. He was going back and forth from campus, back to work, back to his parents' house, back to his apartment, and it's just a lot of work. So if you are not doing well in school and you can relate, please just wish him a congrats. I also made him A+ balloons last semester, even though he didn't get A+. But yeah, please wish him congratulations. On top of that, I feel like it's really hard for a lot of students to focus on school because first...
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
First, they don't really relate to it. You know, they have more of a creative mind. Maybe they just don't find the things that they're learning in school to be useful in real life. But on top of that, I wish more people took into account that there could be so much conflict at home going on that you just have to focus more of your attention on, and you just don't have the comfortable space to just study and focus on school. You know, there's so many factors to not doing well in school, to not graduating college on time, to not doing this and that. Because maybe you have to support your parents by working early. Maybe you have to take care of your mom, take care of your dad because their mental health is suffering or they're just fighting all the time. And there's just so many factors. People want to just look at your outside personality or what you've accomplished from the outside. But they don't want to take into account that there might be a lot of interior things going on behind the scenes that have prevented you from getting to where you want to be, or where other people want you to get to be, or where other people want you to be, you know? And it's just, it makes me sad because there's just so many different reasons, you know?
And that kind of reminds me of, you know, something else that we kind of want to talk about is just, you know, the overall, the stigma behind, or the stigma with education in the South Asian community. And I think about what you just said. I think about it a lot. As in, I had a lot going on at home, and I wasn't really given the opportunity to put too much emphasis on my schooling because I was just worried about other things. But I just think how, like, a lot of kids our age, or like a lot of young adults our age, have parents who always said, at least you have this, at least you have that, at least, you know, we did this for you, at least we gave you this. And it really just defames the point or the narrative that, like, we had so much going on to where we couldn't give that much focus onto school. But I feel like even though I knew that that was always my truth, I was really never able to practice or vocalize that, because whenever I thought about it, I was like instantly like, no, somebody has it worse, mm-hmm. you know? And I got that from my parents just always telling me that somebody has it worse, or some, you know, at least I have this, or at least I have that. And you know, there's pros and cons to having that mentality. The pro is you're always grateful and you always feel blessed. But the con is when bad things happen, you don't give it the right excuse. You always blame it on something that's a little bit more deep-rooted, and it ends up hurting you. To where, like, you know, the main reason why I couldn't perform well was because I couldn't give my time to school. But I feel like I wasn't allowed to really believe in that, because I was just never, like, nobody ever told me that, like, my life was hard. I was always told that my life was really easy.
But you know what else on top of that is that if you are suffering in school, if you feel like you aren't on the same level that you want to be, or the level that your parents want you to be, you feel this guilt because, you know, like, for example, in my case, my parents moved to a very, very high tax neighborhood for our school, for our education. And it was far beyond what they could afford. And it was just a really good community for school, but it was very hard for us to live in this community because of how expensive it was. But I am very, very grateful for their sacrifices and how much they have given us. But it also makes you feel like, oh, shit, like, they moved to this area. They are giving up this comfortable life that they left behind for us. They are paying so much money. So that means we have to do good in school. And then there's this pressure. And then on top of that, they also unintentionally put this pressure on you where they kind of hold it over your heads. You know, they keep saying, like, you know, we moved here, we made all these sacrifices for you, so that means you have to repay us by doing well in school, which honestly isn't too bad of a bargain. You know, they're just expecting you to do well in school in return for all of the, you know, the moving, everything that they've done for us. But it's just so difficult for people because they're just holding us to such a high standard, and it's just very hard to attain that sometimes, especially when they are comparing us to other people and we just aren't our own person. You know, it's very difficult, especially if you are in high school and you're going through this very rough formative years in your life. It's just really hard to be your own person and to make your mistakes and to learn what you like, because your whole worth is just equated to your grades.
And it's so hard that, like, these duties are placed on, like, 13-year-olds who are, like, just incapable of conceptualizing all of that pressure and all of that weight on their shoulders. Because it's like you said, we're not given the opportunity to mess up. We're not given the opportunity to make mistakes. You know, if we get a B, you know, not from my circumstance, but there's so many kids who, like, if they get one bad grade, what happens to them? You know, that kind of reminds me of how, just like a quick story time. When I was planning my pop-up, the place that I did my pop-up at, I've known the owner for a long time, for like 4 or 5 years. And after I released my book, he told me, this was back in December, 5 months ago. He told me, he's like, yo, whenever you want to pop up, I got you. You can do that at my place. And I didn't hit him up for like 3 months. Then back in March, I ran into him. I said, yo, I want to do a pop up at your place. And he was like, cool. What about next Friday? I was like, cool. Like that works, blah, blah, blah. You know, didn't think about it twice. In the coming days, I go visit the place just to check it out. And I'm talking to the girl that works there. Her name's Emma. I'm talking to Emma. And we're just talking, whatever, talking about the pop-up. And Emma says, I'm really surprised that you're having it so soon. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, Ariel just kind of told me, like, he's like, yo, like, let's do it this day. And Emma was like, yeah, like, you know, we're backed up until August, right? And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, we literally have events planned until August. And I was like, then how did I get in? Like, how am I having my thing this week? And Emma was just like, because Ariel loves you. And I think about that a lot because, like, he didn't tell me, you know, oh, like, we could do it next week. Like, I'm really booked up until August. But, like, I could get you in next week. He didn't say all that. All he said was, like, yo, I got you, you know? So I say that to say our parents do a lot for us. And it is a lot. So they do want the attention and the appreciation and the recognition that they've done so much. But, you know, when you're forcing a 13-year-old to give you all of that, it's a lot for them to hold on to, you know, because our parents were always like, we brought you here so you could do this. And I'm just 13 or 12 or 11, just trying to be a kid. But now I got to worry about, you know, the fact that my mother, like, and father traveled across the globe to get me here. It's a lot for us to think about. You know?
Yeah, it's a lot to put on your shoulders, especially when these parents are enforcing a certain career path on you from literally like age 8, like elementary school. Oh, you have to be an engineer, doctor, lawyer when you grow up. And it's so sweet. I'm so glad that my baby cousin has an older sister like me, mm-hmm. because she's 8 years old and she always tells me and she always texts me. She goes, Apu, when I grow up, I want to be an artist and I want to sell my art online. And I want to make my designs. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I feel like if we all had healthy forms of representation to just tell us that we can accomplish our goals, we can accomplish our dreams, that our dreams aren't too big, we just would have been in such a better place. We never had healthy forms of media, and it just really drove us away from pursuing the things that we've wanted to pursue. And it makes me sad because there are so many people in college, even people who are working full-time jobs post-graduation, who have chosen jobs that they are not happy with. They've chosen that job because of their parents. And I just wish they were able to foster that child self, that child dream. And I don't know. I feel like it really hurts me because there are so many people in such, you know, horrible places sometimes.
At the same time, that's kind of what makes me hopeful and excited about the future generation, because I think the difference was for us, for people our age, we had to go to school and we had to fight for the recognition that we're capable to have big dreams. You know, we're allowed to dream big. We had to fight for that. We couldn't just decide one day that we want to do something really big and start pursuing it. We had to fight every day to, like, be allowed the opportunity to reach these goals. Whereas mm-hmm. the next generation, like, once they, like they're not going to have to go, they're not going to have to go to school. They're not going to have to fight for the opportunity to dream, because, like, now it, like, we understand that, like, it's okay to dream early. It's normal right. to dream early. And it's better if you start early, make your mistakes early. Don't make your mistakes when you're 24 and 25 right. and 26. Like, start earlier. And that's why I'm so excited for, like, my little cousin's 17. And I know that he wants to go to college, but I know if he didn't want to go to college or wanted to start practicing something else earlier, I knew that I can help him now. And I knew that he would have the opportunity to go now. But like you said, it does suck that, you know, we were on like the tail end of it to where like, you know, now we're 23 and like the two of us are just kind of like, yeah, we're going to have degrees. You're about to have your master's, which we got to talk about. little intermission. Miss Mahul Labyrinthav Khan is getting her master's in...
Stop, people are going to think that's my middle name.
It is. It's not.
It's part of me now.
You're getting your master's degree. You're getting master's in childhood education. You're going to be teaching small little putlis about, you know, social sciences and addition and subtraction. And I'm so proud of you. I'm coming up for your graduation. Did you guys know that she doesn't know when her graduation is?
Yo, it's not that I don't know. They just didn't tell us.
Listen, her graduation is this month, I think. Yeah. I don't know. True. We don't know.
True.
It might be.
They just didn't give us a date.
Anyways, I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, I'll talk now.
All right.
Well, I'll grab the torch. But it makes me think about how when I was in high school, I was very focused on the arts. You know, I was in college or AP level art classes. I was in AP level social studies. I was in AP English. I was not very strong with the math, with the science. That was not my strongest suit.
I know. Trust me.
I don't know what he knows. Goodness gracious. And it was very difficult because my brother, on the other hand, was very strong with the Model UN, the AP science, AP math, all that, right? And it was very sad and very hard on me when my parents used to compare me to my little brother. And if you guys know, comparison is the worst thing ever, especially when you're young. You feel like you're worthless. You feel like you're never going to get smarter. And it doesn't help you in the way that your parents think that it's going to motivate you. You know, it kind of just makes you want to crawl in a hole. So anyway, I was always compared, especially to my brother. And also, like, to my best friend in the community, my Bangladeshi best friend, other girls in the community, other people in the community. And it's just very, very hard, you know? So I did not do that well in high school. When I say that well, I did a lot better than people who are, you know, failing or, like, getting bad grades.
What are you trying to say? Why'd you smile at me when you said that?
No, because I thought you were about to say something. Because when I say I wasn't doing well, I mean in comparison to the very, very, very like valedictorian top 20 people in my class who had 100 averages, 103 for the, some of them had 100 and like
four.
What
seat were you? What seat were you?
No, I was doing pretty bad actually. In a class of like 300 or something. Let me tell you, this is the ratio. I had like an 87 average. I was 200 something out of 300 something students. I was not doing well in comparison to everyone else, even though I had an average of like an 87, which isn't bad. I got accepted to all the colleges, but mostly the CUNYs. And I don't know why, but my parents also made me apply to private universities, even though we couldn't really afford it. And that just shows you how, like, despite the fact if you can't afford it or not, your parents, you know, they want to give you everything. They want to pay for your college regardless of how much it takes out of them, right? But it's the fact that they want you to go to a better or a more expensive university because they think that that's going to give them bragging rights. It's going to elevate their status in the community, even if that school isn't necessarily better than a low, like a community college or like a CUNY or a smaller scale school, you know? And that's why I feel, I mean, not to judge you if you are going to a bigger, like 100K a year type of school, but I feel like, honestly, you can get a very good education in a CUNY or a community college and it's worth your money and you're not going to be in debt and have, you know, all these loans you have to pay off. But anyway, I ended up going to CUNY. When I went to my college for undergrad, I was very unsure about what I wanted to pursue. It's such a sick, sick expectation for you as a teenager or a young adult to just know what you want to do for the rest of your life. I think that is sick in the head. So I went into college with a pre-nursing program decision.
Right.
So I did that for like a semester. Didn't like it. Didn't think it was for me. Then I ended up changing to marketing. Then I think I also changed to nursing. No, I forgot. I just changed so many times. I don't even know what I did. So I changed a few times and I was unsure about all of those decisions. My parents were also not supportive because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about how much money you can make. And I finally ended up choosing childhood education and English, right? So I ended up graduating with a English major in undergrad and a minor in biology with a 3.5 GPA. And this was very big for me because when I first started undergrad, I was not doing well. I had a 2 point something average or a GPA, and I was unsure with my majors. I just didn't know my direction in life. I was also very depressed. I was not doing any art because my parents didn't support it. I didn't know how to just, you know, bring my life into motion. I didn't know what my path was. And I also didn't really care about school because of how dumb I felt in comparison to everyone else, you know? So fast forward, I finally had a little switch in my head. I was like, you know what? I'm going to use these haters as my motivation to succeed. So therefore, I went hard, changed my major to something that I was actually passionate about, regardless of my parents not being as supportive. They finally actually got on board. I really had to convince them. I refused to take no as an answer. I refused to fall for any guilt tripping. And then I graduated early. So I graduated undergrad early. I got all A's for like 3 semesters straight. I worked my ass off. I remember one semester, I was taking 19 credits or 21 credits. I was taking 7 classes and I was working a full-time job. So I just went hard because I started equating my success to how productive I was. And I think that is due to how my parents raised me and the comparison and just me not feeling like I'm good enough. But then it ended up just being like a competition with myself. And I went into master's right after. So it just shows you how we're just in constant drive mode, you know? Even though I didn't really have to do master's right after undergrad, I mean, I didn't even have to do master's at all, I ended up going right after undergrad in the middle of a pandemic because I just thought that that was the next step to make them proud, to make them feel like I was successful and even make myself feel successful, you know? And it's just crazy that we're so close to finishing and I still feel like I have to get a 4.0 in my cumulative GPA to feel like I've made it.
So how do you feel now knowing that you're about to finish your master's?
You know, it's actually crazy. I have literally been in school for like 17 plus years with no break, especially with the workload that I'm doing. Now that I'm finishing my master's, before the age of 24, by the way, honestly, I'm thinking about my next step now, what else I have to do to make my parents proud, because I feel like it's this perpetual state where you just have to continue and continue to just overdo what you did last time and just continue being more and more successful. So I'm just trying to think, like, what's my next move? You know, do I get a PhD? No. Imagine I get a doctor. Please don't do that. Dr. Khan.
Don't do any of that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. My parents think I am, though.
Do you think your parents will finally be satisfied after you get your master's?
You know what? I don't know what the level of satisfaction is, but I truly will not rest and I truly will not feel successful until I can provide for my parents. So at the end of the day, yes, it is very annoying and very, very paralyzing when your parents compare you and make you feel lesser than because they're putting all this pressure on you and they just make you feel stupid and they keep putting their sacrifices over your shoulders. But at the end of the day, even if it is wearing you down, I feel like the end goal is always to support your parents and to take care of them, no matter how much trauma you have regarding them. And I think that's a child of an immigrant struggle slash mentality. I don't know. Not speaking for everyone. You know, it's weird, But you know, there's like a lot of white people and even some people I know that are not white, where if their parents or if they buy something for their parents or if they pay their bill or like something, they expect the parents to pay them back.
Yeah.
I would never ask my parents to pay me back for anything. I mean, obviously, if it's like your parents are borrowing like $30,000 from you or something, or like $10,000 from you or something, you know, and if you don't have that money and you're doing it. But it's like, I would never ask my parents for cash back or money back.
Yeah, I never have. And yeah, I don't know. White people just piss me off. I don't want to get into it. I'm working on my kindness, you know?
Finally.
You think I'm
guys, I've been okay? Drinking this tea for the first time in so long. I'm very lazy when it comes to making anything, especially at nighttime when I'm working. Because I don't know what's in the air, but my first graders have been acting up. My voice has been elevating. I'm getting that sore throat. All right, so now we're moving on to the advice slash question slash response segment of our episode. As you know, it goes like that. If you want to follow us on Difficult-ish on Instagram, you can send
you
in
said
our...
That, you literally said that backwards. Like first,
you can send in your own stories. You
that's
can send
not
in
true.
Your,
don't send you in your send own in your, story at all.
Your experiences. You can send in your questions that you want advice on. Any concerns. How much you love us on our podcast. So you should just follow us on Difficult-ish. In addition to that, you should also rate us on Spotify. It is simply just the star button, click 5 because you love us. Or if you really want to take that step forward and really support Mashnoon and Mahua, you can go on Apple Podcasts. If you have a MacBook or if you have an Apple phone, you can just click podcasts. It comes simply with the iPhone and the MacBook. And just type in Difficult-ish and just write a beautiful review to make a smile.
Make a smile.
Make a smile.
I got one for you. For you, Miss Mahua Labyrinth. All right, I got one. It's worded a little funny, but I'll just rephrase it. Basically saying that, like, this person wished their parents took their own education more seriously or took their own career more seriously instead of just putting all of their faith and dependency on, like, their kids.
You know what? I realized that a lot of parents just assume that their kids are exactly like them or exact mirrors of them. And while that is true, you know, obviously we have very strong genetics from our parents and we are similar to them, we are not exactly like our parents, you know? And it's very difficult because a lot of them push their aspirations and their broken dreams onto their kids. And they expect them to go so much further in life because they weren't able to. And I feel like that just makes you so separated from who you actually are. It connects you to your parents, even if you aren't like that, even if you have your own dreams and aspirations. And it's very frustrating to find your own identity when it's connected to your parents' hopes and dreams. You know, like when I graduate, I am going to feel very euphoric. I'm going to feel very happy. And I'm also going to love the expression and emotion on my parents' face because, you know, they've always wanted me to graduate with my master's. I'm going to be the first Bangladeshi first gen person in my family to do that. But it also feels like, I mean, and I'm not really complaining because I have always wanted to do this. Since my mom couldn't graduate from the same college that I go to now, and because she got pregnant with me, it feels like it is my legacy or my lifelong dream to fulfill that dream of hers, you know? So it feels like when I graduate, she's also in some way graduating, right? And I'm like completing it for her. So it's just, it's difficult when your identity is connected to your parents, you know? But it's also kind of blissful, you know, because they are as happy and as proud of you as you are for yourself. So it's a double-edged sword.
The next question I got is, I was an A-plus student regularly, I was an A-plus student regularly reaching burnout. My parents would celebrate this and reinforce uni hustle culture. I had to teach myself to put my well-being before grades. I was no A-plus student, but I was definitely reaching burnout a lot when it came to school, especially this semester. I went absolutely berserk this semester, and I definitely didn't put my well-being before my grades, and I think it's difficult for me to do that in the first place with anything. But
I think when parents see you doing well in school, constantly coming home with A's, and even on the other side, if you don't do well in school and you're constantly failing classes or you're constantly doing badly or poorly on tests, they expect this from you forever. So if you are an A-plus student, they're going to expect that from you until you graduate from school and college. And if you are constantly failing, they expect you to be a disappointment and a failure. And it's really hard to get out of that box because they have this idea of you, even if you are changing or if you want to change after college or after high school, whatever it is. Even if you are doing well in high school and then you're suddenly not doing as well in college because it's a whole different environment, the subject matter is just not as easy anymore, they just see you as dumb, even though you've been, you know, successful your whole life. But, and on top of that, it's like, you don't really get any positive reinforcement if you are doing well. So if you're constantly getting A's and hundreds, you get to this point of burnout because your parents are constantly expecting it from you at this point. They already think you're so smart naturally. And it's just like an everyday thing, you know, you don't get any reward for it. Yeah. So it feels like it's just you have to continuously do well in school. There's no benefit for it. And it's just very, very hard to put up with that for years and years and years. So take a rest. Don't put your whole worth with your grades, because at the end of the day, where we are in life is not related to our grades at all. I can tell you right now that my success is not related to my grades. Where I thought I would be 5 years ago is nowhere close to what I want to be, in a good way. And it's, I don't know, it's just crazy. I feel like now we're in a society where college is not as important as it needs to be. There's so many different ways of learning, whether it be networking, whether it be the internet, whether it just be courses that you're taking that aren't related to your degree. But there's just a lot of different methods. So don't put your weight on grades.
I got one more, and I really like this one because it's very true. Parents want me to study but not work. So what's the point of it, to be honest? This is something that I think about a lot because, you know, I think about how, like, our parents want us to go to the best university, the most prestigious one, which is correlated to the most expensive one. They want us to absolutely drown ourselves in student loans. They don't care how many student loans we take. And after we graduate, they don't care to really try to understand how difficult it is to get a job without any sort of experience. And I talked to my mom a lot about this, and my mom's just like, oh, like, you know, just quit your job for the last semester just so you could fully focus on school. And I'm like, Mom, there's, like, me quitting my job just to finish school is going to backtrack me, because I'm going to have to restart a job when the job I already have right now is fine. But she's like, at least you can graduate. And I'm just like, why do our parents separate graduating and have a degree with, like, the actual action of having a job, making money? It's like they only care about what degree you have from what school it is. They don't care about what you work as, unless they can say you're a doctor. Unless they can say you're a doctor, they really don't care to know what your job is. They're just like, they just want to know what degree you have and where it's from. And it's like, how do we get our parents to realize that, like, life doesn't end after school? Like, it's not like we graduate, all right, like, time to, you know, like, no, you unfortunately have another 3/4 of your life to live, you know? So I think about this a lot. I don't know why our parents are like this. They should put more emphasis on what the job is. Why does it care? Why does it matter when you went to school? Why? It matters what your job is. It doesn't matter where you went to school. It literally does not
facts.
Matter.
He's spitting facts.
It's like if I went to a community college but ended up as a CEO and somebody who got like their master's at the University of Florida is just working on like the front line, you're going to tell me that they're given more notoriety than I am? No, because I'm the CEO. But if we backtrack back to college, I'm going to look like a little shrimp tadpole next to him.
Stop with the seafood.
I don't know. I think about this a lot. I agree. I think it's so annoying. My mom does this a lot. And it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's also like a combo of them just not wanting you to suffer that much. They just don't want you to be working and having the pressure of work and school and all these different things on your head. So it's them like just executing in the wrong way. They have the right intention, but it's just them just, you know, prioritizing the wrong thing.
I think working 40 to 50 hours a week at a job is nowhere near as hard as, you know, going to a very prestigious, difficult university for 4 to 5 years instead. Like, why do parents think that school is easy? You know?
True.
Parents love to tell their companions how much their kid is working and how hard their kid is going, but they really don't actually give their own kid the appreciation of like, oh, I know this is really hard for you. It's like, no, like, oh, you got A, you got whatever. Good job. But it's like, true. they don't care to know how hard the school is. It's like, whatever, bro. All
right, we spit some fire in this episode. You got any 10-second advice?
I really don't.
Come on.
Do you? Because I went first last time.
No, you think about it.
What about you? Should I sit there? Twiddle your fingers? Drink your tea? Make your own coffee instead of buying your coffee.
Come on, buddy. Oh, I've been telling you that. Yeah, guys, wish me a happy Teachers Appreciation Week.
It's gonna be over when they hear this.
My advice is, if you have the privilege to, I mean, a lot of you guys probably do not, considering you can't even work or leave your house, but if you have the privilege to, please take a break by going on a solo trip or doing something that you deserve that you've been pushing off. Mashun just booked his first solo trip. I also want to book my own solo trip. I just feel like it's a very good reflection time when you have been working so hard and you feel like you don't deserve it. It's a whole other child of an immigrant struggle where you just constantly work, constantly get overworked and burnt out, and then you do it more and more because you feel like you don't deserve to relax and take a break. But at the end of the day, you just need to recharge and get a different perspective on things. We are not machines, so take that break.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah,
cool. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Rate us a 5. Follow us on everywhere. It's difficultish. Instagram.com/difficultish. Difficultish. Thank you guys for listening.
We love you. Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.